Pán Lord, jeho tvojeho kvinserpo. Amen. Today, in the resurrection season that we are in, it is the third Sunday of that resurrection season. And on the third Sunday, it is known as Green Sunday. Green Sunday. Thus, I have green on, everything is green, and as I mentioned, my socks are even green today, too. Specifically for Green Sunday. Right now, they're white, but later on, they'll be green. And this green is in reference to rebirth, regeneration, new life, new life. And we hear this a little in the gospel reading today when Christ speaks about baptism and rebirth. But today is also referred to as the Feast of the Universal Church, Ashkara Matur. Ashkara Matur, literally the chapel of the world. The chapel of the world. We believe in one church. As we say every Sunday during the Havadam, during the Nicene Creed, after the Gospel reading, after the sermon, we say we believe in one church, one holy, Catholic, that is universal, and apostolic church. We sometimes forget this. Sometimes we think that there are so many churches in this world. Because if you just look in this area, within a 1 mile radius, there must be at least 15 churches. We have Prestonwood Baptist, we have Bentry, we have Freedom Life, we have many other churches in this area. But in reality, we have to remember that Christ came and established one church. The apostles preached one church. The saints went and spread one church. But this whole church began in a small little chapel. And that chapel is Christ's tomb. Those that have been to Jerusalem and those who will go to Jerusalem will see that the chapel, the tomb of Christ, is a little chapel that you go into. It's small. It's not huge. And as you go into it, you have to duck to get into the tomb. It is small. But from that grave, the entire church, the universal church, was established and spread. The physical church that we're in now is a microcosm, a small example of the universe. And we see this especially in Armenian architecture and the way the church is built. We don't just throw together four walls and a roof and call it a church, but there is a specific way of building a church and a specific reason why things are set up in certain areas in an Armenian church. The Ashkara Matur, or the Chapel of the World, is the center of the world, the center of the universe. And this is represented especially when you go to Jerusalem and you see the tomb of Christ. It is the center of the world. When you go, or if you have gone, you will remember, there is a spot in the cathedral that shows the center of the universe. That is where it is, at Christ's tomb. On ancient maps, you will see that Jerusalem is right in the center. You'll see Europe, Asia, Africa, and then you have Jerusalem in the center. Because they didn't know about the New World, and they understood that everything revolved around that. This is the center, and very often in Armenian churches, you have a mosaic in the center of the church. We don't have one, because we're modern. But usually there is a mosaic in the center of the church, or a special sign that shows it's the center of the church. Usually found right underneath the dome, the kumbet, the dome of the church. And it is at this point that it is a microcosm, a little example of the entire universe surrounded by that middle part. So that middle part right there shows Christ's resurrection and where Christ is resurrected and where all of humanity must focus its attention. Not the altar necessarily, but the center of the church. The dome symbolizing Christ's dominion, God's dominion over everyone. Usually in ancient churches, and some Armenian churches still today, we don't, again, because we're modern, we have an icon of Christ looking down upon us from above, looking down and showing that he is watching over every one of us, no matter what happens in the world. And almost all of our services, all of our sacraments, some of the most important parts of that sacrament take place in the center of the church. When a baby is baptized, for example, the service starts in the back of the church in the narthex, and we walk in. We pass over that center part, passing over the tomb of Christ, passing over the center of the universe right there. In a wedding, traditionally, we don't do this anymore because every bride wants to walk down with their father. But traditionally, the service starts in the back of the church, and the vows, the very part where the priest takes the right hand of the bride and puts it in the right hand of the groom and says, taking the right hand of Eve, God places in the right hand of Adam. And Adam said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and this shall be called woman, for she was taken from her man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This happens in the center of the church, the creation spot, the very spot where Christ is resurrected from in the church. That's where it happens. When we do a funeral, the coffin, the tomb, is done right in the center of the church. Not up here, but in the center of the church, underneath the dome. And if you remember, if you came on Holy Friday, Good Friday, the tomb of Christ was not up here. The tomb of Christ was in the center of the church. The Ashara Madur was right there, in the center of the universe. And when we do Antastan, the blessing of the four corners of the world, one day, God willing, we get rid of these pews, and you'll see it even better. But we walk around that center part. The entire congregation revolves around the resurrection of Christ. The idea of the center of the world, especially today, is not an old concept. Armenians and Christians for centuries knew that the center of the world was Christ's resurrection spot, the very spot that life conquered death. And Armenians represent that in the center of the church, the very center of the church where Christ is resurrected. However, so often we forget that the church is not only this place. Very often we think that the church is limited to these four walls and the dome. But in reality, our homes must become churches. Our homes are the first church that a child will ever see, even before they come to this church. I do not know any mother, and I've never met a mother, who has brought their child from the hospital to the church first and then to home. It doesn't happen. Every mother takes their child home first, and then on the 40th day, they usually bring them to church. But the home is the first church a child will ever see. And we must learn how to make our homes into churches. Many years ago, I did a home blessing. I do lots of home blessings with lots of kids. But this one was unique. I went to a home blessing with a child in the family, and they were probably 8 or 9 years old. I can't remember. And every home blessing, I light incense. And I lit incense, and I put it on the charcoal, and it started to burn. And the child took a whiff. She went, she said, "It smells like church." And this child was able to connect incense with a holy place. They were able to connect that the church and the home now were one and the same. It is so important that we make our children and our youth and ourselves realize that the home is a church as well. So often we don't do this. We sometimes regulate the church on Sundays for 2 hours, in these four walls, that's tax exempt. And then when we go home, it's something different. We have laundry to do, we have cooking to do, we have cleaning to do, we have housework to do, and it's different. The two go hand in hand. They must go hand in hand. And we can create our homes into churches, not just by lighting incense. That's one part of it. But by hanging icons in our homes, putting up crosses in our homes, keeping fasting in our homes, praying in our homes, showing love, compassion, and forgiveness in our homes. So often we don't do that. We don't. Unfortunately, today we live in a society and we live in a parish where our children do not come to church every Sunday. They stay in the school, and then once in a while they come over here, if we're lucky. And it's not even every Sunday. This morning I had faith education with the children in our church from 9:15 to 10. And I asked them, I said, why do you come to church? And most of their answers, one in particular, caught my attention. And they said, to learn Armenian. That's the situation we're in right now. That's the state we're in, where our children think the church's existence is to teach Armenian. The church's existence is not to teach Armenian. It's to teach life, resurrection, salvation, forgiveness, communion. All of these things are found in the church. Not, and I love them, St. Sarkis School. They're not there. They're here. If the children do not know what the church is, they will not come to church. I promise you that. I promise you that. Ahavasik, look around. How many youth do we have in this parish that have not come to church when they were younger? They went to St. Sarkis School, they went to Armenian School, and they are not here today. Why? I think you know the answer, because I know the answer. That family which does not bring their children to church, that family that does not make their house into a church and does not teach their children to go to church and be part of the church and be active in the church, that family will disintegrate. That family will dissolve. It is not a threat. It is not a curse. It is a promise. And it is a prophecy. Every family that does not have their children active in the church. You may say, my kid doesn't want to go to church. I didn't want to go to church. And look at me now. I'm not saying your kid's going to become a priest. Okay? Or a nun. But children do not do what you want them to do all the time. And this is why we are parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. We do what is best for them, not what they like to do, not what they want to do. You give a child a choice, they'll have ice cream every night for dinner, okay? And you know that's not right. The church is important to them, and without them, when we all die, this church is empty. My question to you really is, who's going to do your funerals if there's no one left in the church? That's the question we have to ask today. So on a light note, on the day of the Universal Church, on the feast of the Universal Church, I pray that every Christian, each one of us, go home and start making our home into a church. You don't have to put up everything all at once and light incense all the time and do all that all the time. But read the Bible with your kids. Pray before a meal. Sit down with them. Ask them about God. So many of them know nothing about God, even though they come to our church. And it amazes me. And it hurts me, because it shows that I have failed as a priest, because I have not taught them or taught the parents to teach them what Christianity is. When they wonder and they ask questions that are completely irrelevant to Christianity. It's because we are not doing our jobs, and the world is doing its job. It's teaching them the opposite. Again, it is my hope and my prayer as Christians that we go home and make our homes into churches, teaching our children what Christ is, and teaching them, most importantly, love, salvation, and forgiveness, which can only be found in church and nowhere else. Amen.